Well, happy Easter and welcome to our Easter service. It may not be quite as typical as usual. You don't see any Easter lilies up here. That was one of the casualties of the coronavirus pandemic. We couldn't find Easter lilies anywhere. So we do have one flower display up here that was a gift to us to celebrate Easter. So we share that with you. I've told you before that Easter and Christmas are really wonderful times in the year of the church, which I enjoy immensely. And each year, for many years now, I have made the promise to myself that I was going to find a way to experience the season, either Christmas or Easter, in a way deeper and more significant than ever before. And that has worked very, very well down through the years. So as I was thinking about that for this year, and I was That's a combination of remember and realize, all right? I realize the way that this usually goes is that we at some point unpack Easter. As I was driving home the other day, I went through one neighborhood and they had a huge Easter egg. It was like 6 feet tall, cut out of a piece of plywood and all decorated, and a big bunny rabbit over here to the side, and had plastic eggs strung together like Christmas lights across their front door. And I thought they were having a really good time, but we unpack Easter, we get out our Easter baskets and all those kinds of things, and we get ready and we have Easter. I don't know how many of you are going to be able now to have Easter dinner with family, but whoever you're quarantined with, you can have dinner, I hope, with them. But that's the tradition of it. And when I was a kid, part of Easter was getting new clothes. Everybody got new clothes for Easter. And when you came to church on Sunday, everybody had new clothes on, and the ladies wore hats, and it was a wonderful time. But what often happens is that after Easter is over, you just pack everything up and it goes back to normal, to usual. And usually by Tuesday, whenever the boiled eggs run out, when the kids have eaten all the candy and when the leftover ham is finished, then things go back to normal and we forget about Easter until next year. And I don't think that's the way it needs to happen. So I gave some thought to this and I thought, okay, this year, what is it that can happen? How can I look at Easter differently than I have before that will make it a little more special for me? And then I have a chance to share that with you, of course. And a scene popped into my mind out of a movie. It was a movie that was based on a TV series, a science fiction movie called Babylon 5. And in this scene, there are two kids who have asked the elder and aging Emperor Malari to tell them a story, a true story. So he begins to tell them a story about the great Centauri Republic and the Great War. And after a while, the kids have to go and they get up to leave, and the little boy turns back and he said, "Is that the end of the story?" And the emperor says, "Oh no, the story is not over. The story is never over." And I thought, there it is. That's the way to look at Easter. What's the true meaning of Easter? What can Easter tell us now? And that is that the story of Easter is never over. And I think that's really important. We'll take a deeper look at that in just a moment. Now, as I was thinking about how to speak about Easter, so many times in the 40-something years I've been doing this, I've preached about the life and the death, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, which is what this Sunday is all about. And I thought, okay, we've done that. I don't mean to diminish that at all, but I didn't feel a sense of newness about that at all. So I began to look at this experience of Easter and say, what are the basic components of Easter? And it came down to two things. The first one is love. That sounds pretty reasonable, I think. A lot of people don't like to read the Old Testament because the God that is presented in the Old Testament is a God of war, a God of anger and jealousy and judgment, demanding blood sacrifice to cover the sin so that this great God doesn't have to look at it. And a lot of people don't quite understand what that means about God, and they just throw it away. So we find that kind of perspective of God in the Old Testament, but when Jesus comes along in the New Testament, all of a sudden, we're hearing about this God of love. And Jesus talks about love, love. In the Gospels alone, the word love is used some 77 times, just in the Gospels. Now, I had this fantasy. It's an amusing fantasy, and James will enjoy this, I think, in particular, that when Jesus was a teenager and began to be a little rebellious, he learned how to time travel. And he went forward in time to 1967 to England and was hanging out with this bunch of dudes called the Beatles. And Paul and John were writing a song called All You Need Is Love. And Jesus collaborated on that. And then he took that song with him when he came back to his own time. So when he started preaching, what he talked about was love, love, love. All you need is love. So that I enjoyed doing. That was my irreverent thing I told Bev I was going to share this morning. But Jesus spoke so much about love. And there are some let me give you a few examples here. He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. And at the Last Supper, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I give you a new commandment. Some of you have heard of we had our service here, our Maundy Thursday. That word Maundy comes from Latin, the phrase novum mandatum, which means new commandment. And at the Last Supper, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another. That didn't seem really new because he's already preached about that. But he added this caveat. He said, you are to love others as I have loved you. And Jesus said the greatest love, which he demonstrated, was to lay down your life for your friends. That was new to them. That depth, that intensity of love was something that wasn't really talked about that much. So Jesus confronted them over and over again with the idea of love. And there was a British Methodist minister and author named Leslie Weatherhead, wrote a number of books. Two of them are my favorites. One is called The Christian Agnostic. It's about a paperback about an inch and a half thick. But he also wrote a book called, what's the other one called? It just completely left me. The Will of God, which is only about a quarter of an inch thick, but those are really neat books. But somewhere in his writings, Weatherhead said that the crucifixion was to show us how far love would go. So often we think about the crucifixion as paying that debt of blood that God demanded, and people run away from that. But it makes more sense to me to say that the crucifixion showed us how far love would go. Jesus had a point to make. Jesus had something very important to teach, which was about love. And if it took the crucifixion for him to get the cross that point across, he was willing to do it. So the crucifixion shows us how far love would go, and Jesus demonstrated that for us. Now, going back to what I said earlier about a new experience and looking at this and in a different way, looking at love in a different way, we see Jesus showing time and time again about what love was, how deep and how important it was. Now, if we think about love not ever ending, never ending, let me ask you a question. Think about it. Do you know of anyone that you absolutely hate? That you really wish there was a hell so you could imagine them being there and that would make you happy? You've probably felt that at least temporarily at one point or another in your life. And I believe that as long as there's one person that hates like that, then the story of love is not over. It's not done. Is there anyone about whom you have just negative or neutral feelings, no feelings at all? And to you, these people just don't really exist. They're a non-entity. You care nothing about them whatsoever. That's a form of hate as well. And as long as anyone feels that way about another person, then the story of love is not finished yet. And to take it even deeper, to bring it even closer to home, is there anyone that you just really don't want around you, just don't want to have a part of it all? You don't hate them, you don't wish them bad on them, you just don't want to be around them. And you hold that in your heart. Jesus said, if you bring your offering to the temple and you have something against somebody else, make that right first and then bring your gift. That's how important it is to be open and caring about everyone. So if there's a single soul on this planet among the 7 billion of us that you really don't care about whatsoever, the story of love has no end. It is not over yet. There's a second part of this idea of Easter, and that is about life. Just as we said that the crucifixion shows us how far love would go, the resurrection shows us how far life would go. That life is not over and life is never over. Some scriptures that we find around this topic. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. Again, indeed, the water I give them, Jesus said this, indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And of course, what's so familiar from John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus spoke a great deal about life as well. There are some people that believe what's right here, this three-dimensional see-touch human life, is all there is. And when you die here, it's done. It's all over with. And as long as anyone believes that, then the story about life is not over. There are other people that believe that reincarnation is the way that we go. And I thought I had a reference about that, but I don't. There are many people who have doubts about meaning and purpose of this life. They don't really see that this life has meaning, that this life has purpose. And if as long as there's anyone who feels that way, we know that the story of life is not over yet. And then to bring it again closer to home, to you, how do you feel about yourself and your life? Are there things in your life that you have put off, things that you're not doing, ways that you know that you're not living fully and completely, not expressing yourself completely into the world? As long as that is going on with you, as long as you can look in the mirror and feel like you haven't done what is yours to do, then the story of life is not over yet, because there's more to learn. So as we live in this attitude of Easter, and as we've seen that the story of Easter is not done, it's not over, and it never ends. It goes on and on. And Easter teaches us about love. Easter teaches us about life. And it is for us all. There is a way that it works and it fits into all of our lives. It is made for each of us. You know, very often you can say, well, that's for somebody else. You know, that task or that event or that activity or that way of thinking, that belief, that's for somebody else and not for me. But this idea of the story, the essence of Easter, of love and life, is for all of us, every one of us. So on this day, as we share in different ways now, we're accustomed to having Easter egg hunts and dinners together and being out and about, being stuck at home now gives us a different kind of experience about Easter. I encourage you to find the essence of Easter in that, and that essence for today, and what I'll be holding in this coming year till Easter comes around again. That essence is life and love. So we know very clearly, and I believe with all my heart, that the story of Easter is not done. The story of Easter is not finished. The story of Easter goes on forever. God bless you.
You know, we know what our meaning and purpose is here at Unity of Pompano Beach. I was drawn here 10 years ago to an abandoned church property, and membership and even the board had not only declined, they were gone, but they were holding this place in their hearts. They were holding this place in positive thought. And it just all came together, not just by me, by a whole group of us, 12, 13 of us rolled up our sleeves and cleaned up the property and paid off the debt. And then we reached out and we found the old members who came back. And then more and more have come to us through these years, and it's been my joy that Lawrence joined us here and joined me in my life. So who knows what is in store for us, but we welcome it. We say, bring it on. We are here to be a beacon of inspiration and abundance and enlightenment. So today, during this offering time, if you have not yet signed up on Amazon, go to smile.amazon.com And it takes just a moment or two to sign into that, and then all of your purchases at no cost to you are calculated by Amazon, and we get a very small percentage, but it does add up a little bit every month. The other thing you can do is consider donating. Some of you may not be in a position right now to give much, but it is important that you continue to give your smiles, your love, your prayers, and anything that you see of value in your life. Bless it, and it will multiply. Some of us are not as challenged financially, and we depend on each other to keep Unity of Pompano in business, because we do have expenses and so forth. We are so blessed and so grateful to those of you who have donated. It's easy on our website, unitypompanobeach.org. There's a donate button. You can text, and that information is on your screen. You can even mail in a check. We welcome that too. Banks are still accepting drive-through deposits. So please, if you feel led to see the value that we are for you, we welcome your gift today. And we thank you so much, those of you who have been so faithful during this month of March, where we have continued to be able to operate, and we are so blessed to have our band. So as you hold your gift in mind, whatever it is, as you go to the website and prepare to give online, or as you write a check to mail it in, know that we bless you and we bless your gift. And let's hold the unity blessing in our hearts and speak it together. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And so it is. Amen. And now you will be blessed by Karina and the band.